Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
City, I just had concerns about the hourly rate on this, maybe what you're typically accustomed to charging clients, but it's just a lot more than what we paid in the past, even with having given Moore Hill and Westmoreland an increase just last fall.
This is City Councilwoman Marilyn Farrow talking with the new interim attorney for the city of Milton, who is from Gray Robinson, John Adams, easy name to remember. And she's saying, well, boy, you know, because they brought a contract forward that the city council is going to vote on. The contract was $350 for general just counsel for when you're sitting in these meetings and, you know, reading law, reading stuff that might ordinances and whatnot. And then $450 every hour for litigation. That's really his specialty is litigation. And she's like, man, I sure hate the price. Maybe you should have thought of that before you fired the old attorneys. Maybe, you know, it's kind of like, man, I can't believe how expensive the attorney is. Well, yeah. Gray Robinson and Alex Andrade, they were giving you Moore Hill and Westmoreland and Alex Andrade were giving you a discount before, and they raised it from $200 to $250, which was a discount. That was the discount rate. And now you're discovering, you know, how sweet you had it before.
I did personally reach out to an attorney that does other municipal work. She had actually applied for being city attorney back in 2018. She had told me that her rate is $200 per hour. So just talk to us about that.
My best friend's sister's girlfriend knows this guy who's dating this girl who saw Ferris pass out at 31 Flavors last night, and she can definitely do it for $200 an hour. Why can't you come down a little bit? I love John Adams' answer on this.
Sure, the rights are the rights that Gray Robinson has offered.
This is the offer.
We are one of the preeminent law firms in the state of Florida. Those are our rights. I understand that different lawyers charge different rates. I understand paying legal fees is not something anybody likes, including the taxpayers. But
yeah, I mean, these are the rates. We're really good at our job. Nobody likes paying them. But, well, see, what I can't figure out is, like, who would want to be the lawyer for the city of Milton? Because remember the last lawyers who were giving them the discount rate, they fired them. This is Alex Andrade and, you know, Moore Hill and Westmoreland, because they told them to do something that the lawyers thought was illegal after they did the exact opposite of what the lawyers advised them to do and dropping this lawsuit in order to compel Mayor Heather Lindsay to produce her public records, because they were winning that lawsuit. The judge had identified the public records that need to be disclosed, and she's so far refused to do it. There's an order actually to produce them by today at noon. Noon 05, I'll see if my public records request gets fulfilled. I'm not holding my breath. But what would it be next? Like, hold her in contempt? I don't know. So they got these guys in to be like the, you know, the interim. And everybody's upset about how much it is. Mike Cusack, you know, self-described great businessman.
A question for our sitting attorney. Your hourly rate for legal services, $350, and for general government issues at $450. Can you make it all $350? You got to negotiate that. I do it for a living.
It's the reverse, but...
Oh, well, either way, can you make it $350?
You have it backwards, sir.
Well, either way, can you make it $350 across the board instead of $450 and $350?
Those are the rates the firm's authorized to offer. I don't have the authority to change that. As I said today, that's from a team of people that I can certainly ask, but I don't have authority to do that tonight because it's a law firm thing.
Is he really asking the lawyer in open session to haggle over his rate when he's not even the one who sets the rate? Well, I'm a businessman. I do haggling all the time. We can figure this out right here. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So they were paying $200 and then they raised it to $250, and now they're facing $350 to $450, depending on whether it's general or whether it's for the lawsuit. Oh, by the way, this doesn't even get into what was the most fascinating about this. They asked him, would you do what we told the former law firm to do? Would you drop this lawsuit with prejudice? And he says, I'm going to have to study it because I don't really know enough. That's going to, you know, take 10 to 15 hours, which is a legal bill of $3,000 to $7,000. Just to find out, probably he's going to say, I can't do what you want me to do because it's unethical. We were winning the lawsuit. Now we're going to drop the lawsuit. That would probably put us on the hook for legal fees for the mayor, even though we were probably going to get legal fees from her for our side. And we're going to spend $5,000 or $6,000 just to find that out. Cool, cool, cool. I mean, you would think when, like, everybody's on board and agreement that everything would run smoothly. And it has been a catastrophe for this council figuring this stuff out. Anyway, Transgressors comes up next. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with that vehicle crash with injuries and roadblock at Pine Forest Road and Blue Angel Parkway. If you're trying to go southbound on Blue Angel, southbound on Pine Forest, just be aware that those lanes are blocked still, and you definitely need to plan an alternate route. Other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying an investment that holds its value and something that will last a long, long time. In fact, according to Experian Automotive, 96% of Subaru Crosstrek and Forester vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. And during the Subaru Lot to Love event, you can get 2.9 for 48 months on 2024 Crosstrek models. Or get 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2024 Forester Wilderness models. No matter which one you choose, both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence on the road ahead. Love begins with trust, and you're going to love the trustworthy Crosstrek and Forester Wilderness from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Longevity based on Experian Automotive vehicles in operation versus total new registrations for model year 2014 through 2023 as of December 2023.
Jordan B. Peterson, We Who Wrestle With God Tour.
If you say the truth and nothing else, you'll have an immense adventure as a consequence. You won't know what's going to happen to you, but the truth will reveal the world the way it's intended to be revealed. And the consequence for you will be that you'll have the adventure of your life.
Live at Pensacola Bay Center, March 19th. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and the Florida legislature for even thinking about eliminating property taxes from the state. I almost hate to have to explain this, but property taxes are one of the most powerful socialist policies embraced by the supposedly capitalist United States. Frankly, it's always amazed me how virtually no one questions the idea that a taxation scheme in which the wealthy pay far more than the poor and in which every single citizen never really owns their property but must instead rent it annually from the government or have it taken away. I mean, if that isn't socialism, I don't know what is. From each according to his ability to each according to his need. That's our thing, man. A policy that funds government by redistributing wealth and especially one that directly punishes people who own private property, we love it. But now if Florida becomes serious about this, they'll have done away with the two most potent mechanisms of social democracy, the property tax and the income tax. If so, it's hard to see anything left in Florida other than pure capitalism. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, we want to celebrate one of our longtime heroes, Rosie O'Donnell, who this week announced that unlike so many famous members of our order who threatened to leave the United States if you know who was reelected and did not, she actually did flee the country, emigrating to what we can only assume is her ancestral homeland of Ireland. Now, yes, we know many of our political opponents have been celebrating Rosie's departure as a victory since they think, good riddance and don't let the airplane door hit you on the way out. What they don't realize is how powerful this example is, precisely because she's so irrelevant. Obviously, Rosie hasn't made any noteworthy contributions to pop culture in quite some time, but that's why this is such a powerful act. The fact that a J-list celebrity like Rosie can be front of webpage news just by rejecting President Not a Chance's inauguration reminds us that we all have power. So use your social power well. And if you must leave the country, well, do so in a flashy way that makes the news, especially if otherwise nobody on earth cares what you do. Way to leverage your obscurity for a brief flicker of internet-amplified social protest. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Third, yet another advocate worthy of our strong praise has come to our attention recently, Allison McCullough, a movie reviewer who has forced herself to endure more than 24,000 movies in order to tell her followers whether those films are kind to animals or mean to them. That's right, she's a vegan film critic who grades movies based on whether they align with the values of PETA or with the values of big meat and the carnivore industrial complex. For instance, if a movie shows animals with endearing anthropomorphic human characteristics like Kung Fu Panda, Flo, or The Lion King, well, those movies are graded highly because they make animals seem more like people, which is the goal. Four lentils. And if there are specific elements of animal virtue involved, such as Kraven the Hunter refusing to shoot a lion, or simple agricultural cultivation or gardening normalized, she will award them bonus vegan points. Three lentils plus plus. On the other hand, if movies feature violence against animals, enslavement of animals for work or sport, such as horse racing, or the celebration of eating meat, as for instance a barbecue at the Toretto family home in the Fast and the Furious series, well, those movies get flagged with vegan demerits. Two lentils, minus, minus. And sometimes her role is simply to educate, by making people realize that even the seemingly harmless background activities on the silver screen matter. For instance, if a main character drinks a glass of milk, she will flag that and remind readers that, quote, people might think a glass of milk is innocuous. It's not. It's full of violence. So true. One lentil, minus, minus. So here's to you, Allison McCullough. We see what you're doing all by yourself in that dark movie theater to bring attention to the systemic violence of Western meat culture. And we raise a glass of non-GMO, cruelty-free, living wage-prepared soy milk in your honor. Drink up and keep up the good fight. For until all animals are free, no animals are free. And we're glad that no vegans were harmed in the making of this movie review. Four lentils, plus, plus, plus. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, and I want to take a moment to prepare you for our next set of congratulations. As all of you know, we've been in an extended culture war against America that stretches back decades to when we called our movement political correctness instead of wokeness, cancellation, accountability, anti-racism, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Same ideas, different advertising. But all this time, there have been really two halves to our religion. The first half is all the causes we care so deeply about. Climate salvation, inclusion for all people to the holy acronym string, gender anarchy, racial justice, destroying Christianity, redistribution of wealth, and so on. All good things. But the second half is our means of achieving those noble goals through separating people from the past and tradition, taking absurd positions in order to make our merely radical agenda seem more reasonable, and the persistent use of contradiction to undermine the reliance on logic. All good tactics. But the most powerful and subversive method we use is the manipulation of language through banning old words and inventing new ones. Because controlling people's actions begins with controlling their thoughts. And the most effective way to control people's thoughts is to control the words they use. So even if someone is opposed to the first half of our religion, if they advance the second half by destroying language, they're at least somewhat of a partner with us. With that in mind, I'm going to say something very shocking. Be prepared. President, we still don't say his name, is starting to look more like an ally rather than an adversary. For example, his administration is actively scrubbing the social media pages of Department of Defense accounts to remove anything related to race, gender, and sexuality, such as milestones in aviation for black or female aviators. It apparently includes at least flagging for review things like the name of the B-29 that struck Hiroshima, the Enola Gay, and other historical references including to service members who have the name Gay, whether first or last. Although the unnameable one is removing things we cherish, we must remember that it is the removing that matters. If history can be changed, we can eventually change it our way because people will have lost the idea that they shouldn't change history. It has also come to light that executive branch departments are making lists of words that should either not be used at all or should be scrutinized before being used because they tend to favor our ideas rather than his ideas. Again, although this appears to be working against us, it's actually a blessing in disguise because he's making people comfortable with the idea of controlling language for political purpose, one of the core pillars of our movement. And since, as the old saying goes, if you can't fight them, join them, we have some suggestions that are as absurd as the others, but again, the more absurd the better, because getting people to embrace absurdity is also a part of the gig, baby. So here are some ideas. Rather than scrubbing all references to the Enola Gay, simply change her name to the Enola Straight and rename the bomb it dropped from Little Boy to Juvenile Male of Small Stature. Building on the success of changing the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, he should definitely rename the Pacific Ocean as the West American Ocean and the Atlantic as the East American Ocean, or perhaps MAGA West and MAGA East Oceans. The AH-64 helicopter Army variant shall be called the Dark Hawk instead of Black Hawk, since black was one of the flagged words. The Transcontinental Railroad should be named as the Cross Country Railroad, for obvious reasons. The Department of Transportation shall become the Department of Going Places. Transatlantic flights or shipping will instead be called East American Ocean Crossing Routes or West MAGA Ocean Crossing Routes. He should immediately stop talking about transparency in government and instead refer to open government or government in the sunshine or perhaps just honest government, a wonderful bit of doublespeak if we do say so ourselves. Certainly the music of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra shall not be played in any government building. When necessary for scientific sounding discourse, the preferred term will be heterosapiens, instead of Homo sapiens, naturally. And even though it's a little far from presidential authority, in the interest of thoroughness, the Pontiac Trans Am will hereafter only be referred to as the Man Am, since any car Burt Reynolds drives in a movie must surely be all man. We'll have more suggestions in the future, but this is a good start. And again, we're well aware that President Will Never Say does not think he's working for our cause, which is all the better. The best foils are the ones who don't even realize they're helping the wrong side until it's too late. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
I will definitely be demanding that people refer to me as a member of Heterosapiens from now on. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
I'm still trying to get over Man Am, my poor Pontiac.
The Pontiac Man Am?
Yes.
You said you didn't think of it yourself, you know?
I really am. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still dealing with that accident that happened on Pine Forest and Blue Angel. Now, the southbound lanes of Blue Angel are open, they're blocked. But you, if you're turning left on Pine Forest to go southbound, you're going to see some major, major delays there. Other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
It's a good traffic report, John.
Thanks.
Two lentils, plus plus.
I didn't get three.
No, it's not that good.
Plus plus plus.
If you need to buy or sell a home, or really, if you have a question about real estate, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are just fantastic at this. They, in fact, she loves like just teaching people about real estate. You want to know, hey, I've got this much in savings and I can afford this much for a house. Can I get a house in Gulf Breeze? Can I get a house on the beach? You know, what is the market doing in my vicinity? Will I have to get a new air conditioning unit if I'm selling my house based on this age? And the point is she'll know. She loves answering questions, and it doesn't mean that you become a client or, you know, do a contract. Just think of her as a resource. Now, if it does, because sometimes people wait until they're sure they want to sell or buy. Don't wait. Just call, talk to her, get to know her. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, federal authorities are searching Columbia University after the arrest of a Palestinian activist. The school says the Department of Homeland Security was at their campus last night to search dorm rooms. Nobody was arrested, but the school was served with search warrants. Russian President Vladimir Putin says he's got a number of conditions before he'll agree to a ceasefire with Ukraine. A U.S. negotiated 30-day ceasefire is on the table. An envoy from Washington was supposed to have met with Putin last night to discuss that plan. And NASA is going to try again, Andrew, to launch their mission to retrieve stranded astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams, who've now been stuck on the space station since their Boeing Starliner broke down up there a while back.
Man, it's I hope they get
last
down
June
too.
I think is when they went up there.
I have a pair of tickets to go see Jordan Peterson on the 19th Wednesday at the Bay Center. Caller number 3 wins a pair of tickets to go see this great speech.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster.
I think it is a huge slap in the face.
New York House Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez condemning any Senate Democrat like Minority Leader Chuck Schumer planning to vote yes on a Republican spending bill to prevent a partial government shutdown tonight.
I believe it is my job to make the best choice for the country to minimize the harms to the American people.
The bill needs the support of at least 8 Senate Democrats. Ukraine's President Zelensky says Russia's President Putin is being manipulative, not really saying yes or no to a U.S. ceasefire proposal that's been agreed to by Ukraine. NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte on Fox.
It's not entirely clear how they responded. It seems at least that they didn't say no, and that's good.
He met with President Trump yesterday. Putin met with Trump envoy Steve Witkoff in Moscow. Stocks start the day higher on Wall Street. The Dow is on track for its worst week in nearly 3 years. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got cloudy skies. It is 68 degrees in Pensacola. The city of Pensacola has lost a $1 million federal grant that was meant for restoring its urban forest. That move is linked to cuts in DEI programs. Mayor D.C. Reeves expressed some disappointment to learning that, but is joining other mayors around the country in asking the government to reconsider. Even without the grant, the city plans to keep planting trees with funding coming in from other sources. Mayor Reeves pointed out trees are essential since the sidewalks in the city can be very hot without enough shade. City arborist Chase Crawford said the city was able to find other funds to keep an intern that was previously hired with grant money, and also says despite losing the funding, they've got about $250,000 to spend on new tree cover from the city's tree trust fund. A 1998 cold case is closed. 45-year-old Donald Holmes was convicted of manslaughter with a firearm and sentenced to 12 years in prison for killing cab driver Stephen Davis at a local Winn-Dixie store yesterday. Family members say that sentence was too light.
When they said 12, we were floored. I completely lost it.
Tabitha Comas is Davis's niece. She remembered the day her family got the call and said the anguish was unbearable. Prosecutors said they wanted a lengthier sentence but didn't want to take the case to trial due to degraded evidence and the star witness having died. Holmes pleaded no contest. He was already in prison for a home invasion that happened several years ago. The two sentences will run concurrently. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement says they successfully disrupted an auto theft ring that was targeting high-end rental SUVs.
Some of them, they would put trackers on the vehicles and wait for a family to come in, rent the car, and then they would steal it later.
That's State Attorney General James Utmeyer. The suspects then generated new VIN numbers through an auto dealership and sold the SUVs in deals that were too good to be true. 5 suspects have been taken into custody. 1 is still on the loose. The suspects were identified as non-citizens. They're being investigated by Homeland Security regarding their immigration status. Well, the Tampa Bay Rays' hopes for a new stadium have come to an abrupt end. In a State of the City address, Mayor Ken Welch acknowledged there was a likelihood of the team backing out.
It's not like we both haven't spent a lot of time talking about what the right deal would be. And so now to say that doesn't make sense, I think it would undermine any efforts moving forward.
That is Mayor Ken Welch there. Team owner Stu Sternberg cited unexpected events since October in a statement on X leading to the stalled $1.3 billion deal. The Rays will temporarily be relocating to Steinbrenner Field for the 2025 season after Hurricane Helene damaged Tropicana Field. The team has a lease there until 2027. Santa Rosa County mother and her boyfriend have been charged with child abuse after a baby had to be taken to the hospital with various injuries. 28-year-old Jordan Moore was arrested earlier this month for felony child neglect causing great bodily harm. Her boyfriend, 29-year-old Jesse Smith, was also arrested on a felony child abuse charge. An arrest report detailed the child's injuries, which included a broken arm, ribs, and legs, as well as bruises, bite marks, and missing teeth. Another child in the home reportedly gave investigators details on the alleged abuse in the home. Both Moore and Smith are due back in court March 27th. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by ECUA Bulk Waste Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still dealing with the, we've actually had another accident that happened on Pine Forest Road in Cope Lane associated with the one that happened on Pine Forest and Blue Angel. So definitely want to avoid Pine Forest if you can. Both north and southbound lanes are having issues right now. Other than that, we are rolling accident-free. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have a cloudy day today with a small chance of a stray sprinkle, high near 72 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. For your Saturday, severe weather threat possible as we do have showers and thunderstorms moving in, especially for the afternoon and evening hours. Level 4 out of 5 for severe storms. All modes of severe weather possible, including strong tornadoes, damaging winds, and hail. Stay weather alert on that Saturday. High near 74. Overnight, we could still see those storms, 60 degrees overnight. Going into Sunday, we'll start to calm down with some sunshine breaking through by the afternoon with a high near 74 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we've got 69 degrees in Pensacola, 69 in Gulf Breeze, 65 in Milton. Our next news at 9 o'clock and breaking news anytime. Your money now this morning. Well, markets are actually up right now. The Dow's up just under 200 points at 41,038.40. S&P up 61.5 points at 55,82.99. NASDAQ up 303 points at 17,610.09. Our 10-year bond rate up at 4.304% today. Gold price is up $14.50 at $3,580. Silver price is up 31 cents at $34.62. Looking at the crypto market, it's all up today. Bitcoin up at up 34.25 at 89.77. Ethereum's up $62 at 19.09.80. Solana's up 5.40. Dogecoin even up by a penny at 18 cents. XRP up 9 cents. Our next news is at 9 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
The hip, the hip, hobby, you don't stop.
Rap. I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's the end of the week. That means I got a couple of friends here in studio with me, and we're going to talk about whatever we talk about. It's usually a little unpredictable, which I like. You know, that means you go where the conversation goes. If we had beers, it'd be even less predictable. And it'd be, I think, preferable, although it is 9 o'clock or 8:30 in the morning. It's not too early for me. I mean, I've been up for 6 hours. So joining me in studio, I got John Singley. He is a retired captain from the United States Navy and the pioneer founder of Studio 850, a fantastic local online news resource, even though you do waste my time with Okaloosa County stories. I mean, aside from that, a fantastic resource. John, welcome back.
Thanks. Thanks, Andrew.
You're so welcome.
And I wish I could work as hard as you. Maybe we'd get
dude. You put out so much material. Yeah. I look at him like, I don't know how he has the time. So
I don't
know
how you do either, Andrew. You know, I've told you that many, many times before. I've been doing this many, many years. I've never seen anybody pull a wagon like you. So it's
just
amazing.
Try. Just keep trying. And the funny thing is, I never thought I would care about local politics. You know, and here I am, like, oh man, I gotta cover that. That's crazy. Todd Thompson is the president and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Todd, welcome back.
Thanks. Always a pleasure.
Great to have you, obviously. Let's start with one thing because I want to make sure I don't forget it. Navy Days. We're going to do Navy Days again, right?
Yeah. So thanks to the TDC yesterday approved a $50,000 grant for us to move forward. And, you know, second Navy Days, we've got a number of events coming up. We're going to be sponsoring Gallery Night in April. It'll be Navy Days themed, but the bulk of the events will happen the week of the weekend of May 9 through 11. There's going to be a gala at the museum, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, incredible event. We'll have on Saturday the 10th, we'll have 4K run, not a 5K, but a 4K, which was we had a lot of folks last year. And then we'll have a parade.
You'll find me watching at best. Go on.
Yeah, a parade. And Fun Fest, all Saturday morning into the afternoon at Plaza de Luna.
Okay.
And last year we got sidetracked by, you know, what looks like we're going to have tomorrow, some of this nasty weather. So, you know, put your prayers in now for good weather that weekend. But we're very excited. We want to make this an event that brings people, you know, back to Pensacola. People who've been in the Navy, who've come through, but maybe live somewhere else now. Bring them back, celebrate them, say thank you for everything that, you guys do.
We will pray and hope for a chamber weather day for the chamber event.
Well, it's not a chamber event.
Not a chamber participation. How about that? There's so many local things going on, and you guys are both very local-centric. The Bay Center conversation, I found the contract renewal for the management company with all of their connections and resources, I thought that was very interesting. And the takeaway for me was, and I've said this before, but for people who weren't listening, the takeaway for me was you really got to figure out what goal you're accomplishing. Because the goal of having, you know, a conference center is a different goal from having athletic competitions, is a different goal from having a music and performance venue, is a different goal, maybe. There's some overall from having even just events, you know, and so really thinking about what the Bay Center itself could do and also what a secondary facility out back on the parking lot maybe could do. And, I mean, until that point, I had always kind of slopped all of that together, and we're trying to do it all, and when you do it all, you do poorly at all of those things. Mayor D.C. Reeves was adamant that, A, he wants to be involved in the conversation, and he's willing to bring money. I mean, he recognized that the city can't be a deciding influence and not be willing to commit some funds, right? Okay. But he thinks the Bay Center needs to be renovated and made good, and then let's have a conversation about what we want for our second facility. John, you were in the press conference. He was talking about it. What's your take?
Well, that's where the mayor is right now. But the interesting thing is, and Lumen May, county commissioner, of course, said, I want extreme makeover.
Yeah.
I want the whole ball of wax. The mayor's fine-tuned that, his view on this. But the interesting thing is, Jim Little at the News Journal had looked into this new CRA plan where
the floor, the bill.
Yeah. Lo and behold, there's the Bay Center, the Grand Hotel. It's all embedded in this. That kind of slipped by me, but Jim, being the eagle eye guy, saw it. And I think that's the mayor's way ahead. If you're going to use city money, it'll be through the CRA process.
But again, that depends on if this bill passes, which would prevent the formation of new CRAs, sunset all CRAs by 2045. And as I read it, it was to prevent any new funding or bond issues after like October 1st or something. Now, there's been a lot of effort to tweak it. It may not end in that form, but, you know, they're saying that's the hatchet. We need a scalpel, but we'll see. You know, it's a major change to the way, you know, municipal funding is going to work. Todd, your thought about the Bay Center particularly?
Yeah, so obviously a lot of conversation. You know, we just had Pensacon. We just had Sunbelt.
Right.
Ice Flyers are doing great. So, you know, there's a lot of great activity there. But, you know, I'm of the mind personally that, you know, if we're going to do something, we need to do something big. I think if we just piecemeal it here and there, I mean, the facility's over 40 years old right now, and we're doing some things now that are helping with the Sun Belt and make sure that they, you know, have signed their agreement and stay.
I think the upgrades that are in process are, we've already got the scoreboard.
Right.
We've got they're working on the fencing is a part of it. The sound system is a part of it. Although I'm just personally not convinced that any fix is available for the sound inside the Bass Center. It's like just an unfixable problem, maybe. But, you know, I hope I'm wrong.
Right.
And I think locker room upgrades is the other part of what's going on right now.
Yeah, and some of the seats, some of the riser seats that are down low.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to replace those.
Okay.
So they're doing some things already, but, you know, just being in some of those meetings and listening to the conversations, you know, you've got the folks who want more ice for youth hockey. And, you know, as a chamber and as people, you know, putting on events, we're always looking for event space.
Right.
And you hear about, you know, I get calls, hey, I've got an event. We need space for 600 people. We don't really have that.
Yeah.
You know, and so so that's something we'd like to see. Obviously, Pensacon, it seems like every year there's the threat, well, this, you know, this may not last because we don't have the facilities to,
right,
to keep this going. So so I think, you know, I think,
because in all honesty, the Bass Center is an atrocious facility for Pensacon. I mean,
it's just for any
kind of convention event.
It's just
not meant for that.
Yeah, there's no feel to it. There's no atmosphere.
Right.
You know, and it's just not as, you know, what's the word, flexible. You know, you can't do as many things with it as you can with a lot of these more modern facilities.
Right. So, yeah, so I think I agree with the mayor that if we're going to not just demolish the Bass Center, and I don't think anybody believes we're going to demolish the Bass Center. It's got good bones, or so they say. It's going to be expensive to make it nice and to maybe, I mean, I'm not sure what the upper capacity is, but if we can get it to 10,000, that seems to be the number. If we can get the seating capacity above 10,000 and with some box seats and some nicer things and fix the sound system, God willing, then it becomes a competitive indoor performance venue, right? It becomes something where we can actually keep some concerts here instead of losing to the Wharf or the Mobile or whatever. That's going to have a price tag. And once we do that, then we got to talk about that second facility. Does the chamber, do you guys have a preference on second facility function in terms of sports or convention center? I'll come back to you in a second because we got to take a quick break. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still dealing with that accident, vehicle crash with injuries and roadblock that happened on Blue Angel and Pine Forest. Now, if you're trying to go southbound on Pine Forest past Blue Angel, you're going to see a major delay, maybe 20, 30 minutes at this point. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. It's the wrap. We've got Todd Thompson from the Greater Pensacola Chamber and John Singley from Studio 850. Todd, does it almost seems like if we could, we'd build three buildings. You know, we'd build the convention center. We'd also build an athletic facility. We're not going to do that, at least not yet. So we just kind of have to pick. Either one seems good, although each one has its challenges.
Yeah, and the chamber hasn't taken a position on one or the other, or, you know, if it, you could do a multi-use. But I think, you know, the more that you wait, the longer that you wait, the more expensive these things get, the more that you lose out on. And I just think it's one of those situations where we've kind of, things are coming together, and, you know, you might have the right people at the table now to make a decision and move something forward that can be bold and transformational.
What I also always think about is, you know, the Bass Center as it exists now is, you know, an expensive park, right? It's a place where we go for the graduations. It's a place where we have a shelter. It's a place where we go for, you know, slightly lower capacity performances. We go to watch the Ice Flyers. It's a public engagement thing, right? But all of these other things, making the Bass Center bigger and bolder, building an athletic facility, building a convention center, whatever, those are like investment devices. They're not so much meant to enhance local life, except they're meant to spin off economic benefit to the locals. But they're not really meant to be like for us. It's meant more to attract people here. Right, John?
Yeah, I agree. Two things I heard that really resonated with me. I grew up in a town that went through the same agony once upon a time. And here's what I learned, and I heard it repeated the other day. First, the convention centers don't make money. I don't care where you are.
Mm-hmm.
These are not profitable deal. They're always going to be subsidized. Darren Schaefer said, we're missing out. And I think Darren's a very credible guy in his field.
Right, from Visit Pensacola, right.
And this is like the Navy Days thing. Todd says, we want to make more people come here and appreciate this. There used to be something called shipboard reunions. Navy ship guys, all the way back to World War II, would gather and come and have reunions. Trader Joe's, John's was the draw here. Mm-hmm. And then the museum to some degree is the draw now. But you could do, I noticed over at Destin Okaloosa, another large, nice conference center over there.
Okay.
Loses money. But they have veterans groups. I mean, I was at the special warfare thing over there a couple weeks ago. It was full house. And it does have benefits. If you're going to bring veterans reunion groups to town, they need a place like Civicon to gather. Some of these are pretty large. The other thing that
just a question. When you say they lose money, you mean the facility itself on the money the facility takes in and costs
right.
Lose money. You don't mean that overall in the economy in terms of tax revenue, bonus
that's
to businesses.
Right.
You just mean the very specific, the building loses money.
Yeah, so I think going into this, people have to realize this is not a net gain, except in terms of the
collateral
knock-on effects in the community, which could be quite large, actually.
Right. And, you know, people who come here, they're buying hotel rooms, they're buying dinners and steaks, and they're buying...
The other thing caught my eye was Ray Palmer's Swiss knife analogy, kind of what you were talking about. Can you be a flexible structure and be everything to everybody? Ray has his doubts.
Yeah.
You have your doubts.
I do. And I had not ever thought about it quite that way, and it seems clear to me that I've been to convention centers, they look like this. I've been to athletic facilities... They look like that. They don't look the same. And so what you build to accomplish one is not what you would build to accomplish the other. And if you got to think about the competitive market space, right, each design is competing against a different set of local competitors. And we have to think about that.
What do you think about the idea that a second sheet of ice in the parking lot or in the tech park, wherever.
Yeah.
Oops, did I say that? but excuse me, Florida West, but... the idea is that a second sheet of ice then would allow the ice flyers take some of that
demand
off their schedule over there, and then I'll open up the floor in the Bay Center for other things.
Yeah, it made sense to me. It also made sense to me that if you had the other way around, like if you have a event space or an athletic or something, that some of the events that are now in the Bay Center can be drawn there, and that frees up the ice in the Bay Center.
Right.
So that kind of works in both directions, potentially. Namely, if you have a second facility, almost whatever the second facility is, it's going to benefit the ice people, who are very passionate, and the everybody else people, too.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And then the other component, I think John mentioned, is the Grand Hotel that's been sitting there for... Yeah, 5 years.
What do you know that you can tell us, Todd? Because
I don't know anything. I'm sorry, but
do you ever get asked about that?
Oh my gosh! You know, the old if I had a quarter for every time I got asked about it, you know, I'd have at least a few dollars. But it is a common question, and you know, it's frustrating because it was such a central, great location to support these events it's just sitting there. And so, if we can do something, again, that's comprehensive, that ties everything together and makes that downtown district that kind of gets, we got Palafox and the area around there is starting to grow a little bit to the east and west as well. But that's a little, that's another chunk. If you can get that reinvigorated, then, that just brings that whole core together and really makes that super vibrant downtown.
And like the mayor said, I mean, it wouldn't make any sense to put tens of millions of dollars into making the Bay Center spectacular or doing a second facility of some kind or both, unless you also can make the Grand Hotel work properly, because it's the perfect thing to go along with all of that.
Right.
And, it's almost like the reminder of how frustrating it is that it's not operational. I wanted to switch gears a little because we're running out of time, but I wanted to make sure we talk about this. We kind of all of a sudden have big things happening on the west side of town, and not even the far west, but you've got the Reverb Project, Community Maritime Park, and you've got, construction already going on Old Stinky, the ECUA property,
right,
on the west half. The east half is supposed to happen as well. In, say, 2 years, that part of town could be completely different, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting because that's, my window of my office on the fourth floor of the CoLab building. So, but that's what I look at every day. That's, I can see City Hall. I can see Blue and Wahoo Stadium and
Blank space.
And blank space. And it's been that way, We've had great dreams and great, you know, ideas, but you know, hopefully, yeah, that these are finally coming to fruition and will be transformational again, and you know, really start reinvigorating, yeah, that western part of, you know, downtown, if you will. And you know, it's, you know, some people like just seeing the green grass or, you know, the views, but it's nice, but you know, it doesn't do a lot for economic development. It doesn't do a lot for jobs and, you know, bringing more people, you know, having a great hotel down there is going to be amazing. And, yeah, just, it's exciting and, you know, hopefully we see it through.
John, you've been, you know, in the press conferences and you've followed these conversations and the news and the possibility. How weird is it to feel like, oh my God, we actually have sketches of what could happen and it's going to get built? I mean,
we have sort of sketches.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
I mean, we still there
with windows, without
Harold
windows.
Harold Dawson and Emmett have a plan to connect Old Stinky's property directly to the front gate of the Blue Wahoo Stadium.
Agreed.
And it will run all the way down to Main Street. They're not showing their cards on it right now, but Lot 4 mm-hmm. figures into it. That plaza between the hotel and the apartments is the gateway to whatever's going to happen in Lot 4.
I always forget. Is 4 the triangle or is 4 the rectangle?
That's the parking lot.
The parking lot is Lot 4. Lot 5 is where they're building the building. Okay, right. Got it.
So,
okay.
So transformational, absolutely, Todd. But there's more. There's a big picture there. And when you look at this whole live local business.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of the first ones in Escambia County. The state doesn't have a good database on how many have been approved,
mm-hmm.
but I think this is creative. I think it answers the mail in certain degree. I think workforce housing is what I got slapped by the Dawson Group for calling it in my reporting affordable housing, not affordable housing. Live local statute says workforce housing.
I've had my deep conversation with the mayor about how all these terms really mean nothing at all.
Right, so.
And so I think a lot of that, affordable workforce housing, I think a lot of that is political.
Sure.
I'm a free market guy. I don't think you ever solve housing price shortages by government intervention. I lived in Honolulu, which has massive government intervention.
Okay.
And what happens is, so every new building that goes up, condo generally, certain amount of them have to go to certain income level.
Right, right.
The problem lies in who decides who gets the next apartment.
Sure.
Honolulu was full of scandals over the years over the apportionment of those affordable units. So,
right. And this has been one. And this has been one of the And this has been one of the complaints. Of course, the Old Stinky stuff is going to be it's going to be pricey. It's not going to be cheap. But that's hold on for that for just a second. John Pickens has another traffic on the fives. John,
brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com. Just one accident to let you know about, still causing delays on Pine Forest and Blue Angel Parkway. If you're trying to head southbound on Pine Forest, you're going to experience about a 10 to 15 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. I thought the concept. The basic concept of having an apartment building attached to a hotel that centers around living amenities that are now becoming the norm for a lot of these developments to have your, you know, work and play or not work, but you know, your live and play right in one location. So you don't have to travel to go anywhere, which makes perfect sense for a downtown, makes perfect sense for near the ballpark. I mean, the kind of the idea of it is just duh, you know, why don't we have more of that? Right. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I think the vision has been there for a long time. And to John's point, Quint Studer put out he had a master plan probably 6-7 years ago that he presented that, you know, did exactly what John was saying. I mean, it connected, you know, the housing and some of the retail stuff that'll go on the 18 acres. And then, you know, across the street, it'll connect to, you know, the Wahoo Stadium and, construction that'll go there. So yeah, having that full development where you can, you know, yeah, you don't have to have a car. You can just walk and you'll have a full quality of life.
If we can only get a left turn light at Joe Patty's.
Well,
I mean, you talk about long festering issues, you know.
Well, I think first you fix the drainage.
There's that.
And actually, that's kind of interesting to see that come up in the conversation about the new reverb thing is, you know, talking about building a ground level down underground parking. I'm like, Not with that flooding. I mean, that's like the center of water on that whole property. But, you know, they say they'll work on it, so we'll see. Hey, Todd Thompson, Chamber President and CEO, John Singley, Studio 850. Thanks, gentlemen. Great conversation.
You're listening to...